Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 6, if you would. Luke chapter 6 this morning. If you're hot, I'm sorry. If you're cold, I'm sorry. If you're perfect, praise God. I can't seem to, it's impossible to make everybody happy. Luke chapter 6. Let's stand together as I read, beginning in verse 27. But I say unto you, which hear. It's almost like Jesus knew, but not almost, it is. Jesus knows who's listening. Amen. I say unto you, which hear, those of you that are listening to me, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Can you believe that this old world would treat a Christian like that? You better believe it, or you're going to be sorely disappointed. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Well, this list is getting harder and harder, isn't it? And as ye would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. That's what we call the golden rule. If you love them which love you, what thank have ye? Jesus is saying, big deal.
Yeah.
You love them that love you, big deal. Sinners also love those that love them. I mean, the world loves those that love them. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? Sinners also do even the same. If you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? He's almost like he's saying, do you expect me to thank you for being such a blessing? No, sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But, verse 35, love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful. Aren't you glad there? Say amen. He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. That's every one of us. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven.
Amen.
Give, in verse 38, and it shall be given unto you good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Again, verse 38 is our text verse. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Let me preach to you this morning on this passage and some others this morning on the Christmas spirit. The Christmas spirit. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your love again, for your mercy. Thank you, Father, that you're kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Thank you, God, that you're merciful to those of us who deserve nothing but wrath and condemnation. Thank you, God, for the blood of Jesus that makes it all possible for sinners like me, Father, to be born again, to serve you, to know you personally, to dwell with you and in Christ, and Lord, to be able to stand in this pulpit and help and edify and feed your flock. God, I pray for each person here tonight, this morning, that you would bless them, speak to their hearts. I pray you'd save the lost, Lord, that this may be, Lord God, the best Christmas they've ever had. They're finally, once and for all, truly born again. I pray, God, for your people again. Strengthen that which is weak. Encourage that which may be discouraged. Lift up, Lord God, the fallen, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Around this time of year, you're going to hear the term Christmas spirit. Somebody may ask you, where's your Christmas spirit? Well, I did it. I just did it in the spirit of Christmas. And you may wonder, I mean, obviously we kind of say, well, those are words I'm used to hearing, but where did that came from? Or maybe you don't think like I do, but many times when I hear something that's, I guess, run-of-the-mill or trendy, if you will, I want to know where it comes from. I'm curious about the source of things, where they started. But in this case, the Christmas spirit, I didn't have to look in any kind of secular books or any kind of research history or anything like that. Just meditating and thinking and praying over the last few weeks about this Christmas spirit, I've been asking God to illuminate me, to give me some insight, because God has the answers, folks. God has the answers to all the questions. All the questions you will ever ask, you will find in Christ. Amen. In God's Word, He'll lead you to the source. But I do want to say that God led me to this particular passage of Scripture this morning, and thinking about the Christmas spirit. If we're going to think about the Christmas spirit, then we must first deduce logically. Now, I don't want to overtask your brains this morning, but logically speaking, it's obviously going to have something to do with Christmas. Right? I know that's not real deep, but it does make us think, okay, what about Christmas then is the source of this so-called Christmas spirit? Is it Christ? Is it Christ, but what about Christ? I mean, is it because He was such a cute little baby in a manger? Is it because of the Christmas tree that we spoke of last week that really pictures the gospel so beautifully? Is it because of the wise men that came from the east following the star? Well, can I tell you, yes, and yes, and yes, and yes. Okay? The answer is, if you will, wrapped up in one word. The answer, what is this Christmas spirit all about? This Christmas spirit is all about one word: giving. Giving. Think about it. Think about it this morning with me, if you will. Aside from very young children that are too young to understand, but everyone during this time of year is thinking about what they're going to get for others. What they're going to give them. Now, I know that this time of season has become overly commercialized and corrupt. I understand that. But for a short time of each year, people get wrapped up, consumed with giving. Giving. Now, they may be doing it for the wrong reasons or whatever. I understand all that. But just stay with me this morning as we ponder this. It's amazing to me, the one thing that defines sin and the one thing that defines the sin nature is selfishness. It's stinginess. Yeah. But yet, during this season of Christmas, people are largely thinking about what they're going to give. Yeah. What can I get for so-and-so? What can I get for my grandchildren? What can I give my parents? What can I... My parents. Yeah, parents. Yeah, parents can get gifts too, amen. What can I give my children? What can I give my spouse? What can... You understand? My church members, my loved ones, my friends at work. We get to thinking about what we're going to give. And listen, I'm telling you, it makes a difference in the overall spirit of people during this time of year. Amen. Think about what they're going to give. Again, it's blown out of proportion. I understand. People get out of control with their credit cards, and it's become commercialized and corrupted, because anything that man does becomes corrupted. But I can hardly, you can't deny the fact that there's a different sort of spirit in the air during this time of year. Right. Now, it may not be in your heart. But that's why they call you humbug. Right? That's why they say, bah, humbug, right? Because it's not in everybody. We understand that. And I'm not going to break out in song or anything like that. But I'm intrigued by the truth, this thought that's recently settled into my thick skull, if you will. The Christmas spirit is real. The spirit of this holiday, it exists because there's so much giving going on. There's so much giving that's being prepared on Christmas morning. Listen to me, I don't think this is a stretch. I believe this is a 100% truth, and that even a lost man tends to have a different spirit on Christmas morning when he sees his children open up gifts that he's bought and wrapped and given to them. Even a lost woman, even a lost family has a different spirit when they see their loved one's eyes light up when they open that gift on Christmas morning. Right. Yeah. It's something, listen, I believe it's real. It's truly, the Bible, Jesus Himself said, it's more blessed to give. Yes, amen. than to receive. There's a quote that says, that somebody said, there's no happiness in having and getting, but only in giving. Over half the world is on the wrong scent in pursuit of happiness. Do you understand what I'm saying? Over half the world, probably a large percentage of the world, is we have life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. But yet, and those are constitutional rights that we still have today. Amen. Thank God for that. But that pursuit of happiness, many times we're on the wrong scent, like a bloodhound on the wrong scent. And we're going down the wrong trail. Amen. We're on the wrong path. We're looking to get and to have, when really what would make us happier, according to the Bible, this is not something I dreamed up. According to the Bible, it's more blessed, it's happier to give than to receive. And I'm telling you this morning, there's a reason that there's a Christmas spirit in the air around this time of year. There's a different spirit. People are different. They treat each other differently. I know there's exceptions, but exceptions don't change the rule. Exceptions really don't mean anything. They're just something for you to get hung up on. Amen. But the rule is still there. The rule is still that people are different this time of year. They're preparing to give, and they're just a different spirit in the air, so to speak. Now, I'm going to say, from the Scripture, we're just going to look at a few things, and I won't be long today, and you can go home and eat and take a nap. Amen. But the fact is, from the Bible, we can see that this spirit of giving is scriptural. Amen. The spirit of giving ought to be, it is, we're going to study for a few minutes. It's something that we all can look into and learn a lot from, this spirit of giving, the Christmas spirit. This Christmas spirit, number one, meets with opposition with our flesh every time.
Yeah.
Look in verse 27. Again, what I believe Jesus is describing here is the Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount, the abbreviated version, if you will. But he's describing a spirit, amen, in a Christian. He's describing a spirit, verse 27, but I say unto you here, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. Wait a minute. Every man, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask it not again. If somebody steals from me, I'm not going to worry about it. Those things do not come naturally to our flesh. Those things do not come naturally. Matter of fact, we ourselves, as we read those, we're thinking, oh man. Oh man. Oh, did Jesus have to say that? Because it does not, every time that spirit, the Christmas spirit, the giving spirit, let's just call it that, the spirit of giving, it's going to meet opposition with our flesh every time. It goes against our nature. It goes against who we are in our sinful nature. Who we are born, listen, Jesus wouldn't have to teach us this if it was natural. Are you listening to me? Jesus would not have to be saying these things if it was naturally coming out of our hearts every day. The spirit goes against our nature. This goes against our flesh. Can I say that this is probably why the Christmas spirit is short-lived, amen?
Yeah.
As soon as Christmas Day is over, it's back to being mean and hateful to everybody. Well, it might last till New Year's because they get some time off of work still. But the fact is, some people never get to this point. Some people are just mean and hateful all through Christmas. Some people are angry at everybody. Some people, you know why? Because this spirit goes against the nature of man.
Right.
There are, you know yourself, and can I say, it seems to me that people are getting more and more leaning towards, leaning away from the Christmas spirit than they are the other way around. There's more people today who are more concerned about themselves during this time of year than they used to be. I'm just saying, because it goes against the nature of that's where the bah humbug comes from. That's where the Grinch thing comes from. Because not everybody understands this spirit. It goes against our natural thinking. It goes against our natural selfishness and stinginess that lives inside us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. And the Bible Bible says that there is none righteous, there is no not one, all have sinned, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. There is none that is born that way. None. None of us are born that way. But the fact is that there, Jesus says that there's a spirit that you should have as a Christian, as a child of God, that goes against, completely against your nature, your flesh. This spirit meets opposition with our flesh every time. Even when we read the verses, look again, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Those things take a while to sink in, don't they?
Amen.
Pray for them, notice, which despitefully use you. They use you out of this, out of spite, to get even with you, to hurt you, to do damage, to be just to be flat out mean to you. They do it on purpose. They use you for something that they want. They use you to get gain for themselves.
Yeah.
Enemies hate you. Now, Jesus is warning us again, as I mentioned earlier, that these people are going to be out there. Now, the Bible says, if a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him.
Amen.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that they're going to love you. That doesn't mean that they're going to stop hating you. That doesn't mean that, that just means that there's going to come a time where they realize they're not going to get you. Are you listening to me today? They realize they're not going to pull you down off that wall, Nehemiah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. They're not going to pull you off that wall. They're not going to get you down into their pit where they are, because God's already pulled me up out of that horrible pit and out of that miry clay. Amen. God's already set my feet on that rock. So, and listen, you're not pulling me back down in there. I'm not going back into the darkness that God's brought me out of. And there's going to come a time that as I live and I love God, ultimately I love my neighbor as myself, but they don't like it. They hate me. They use me. They curse me. Can you imagine somebody cursing you? I don't have to imagine it.
Amen.
Yeah. I don't have to imagine it. I mean, after all, Cain, the older brother, killed his brother. Not just a co-worker, not just a friend, but a brother. Literally, younger brother, who looked up to him. Can you imagine Cain and Abel growing up? Here's Cain, here's Abel. And they're growing up, you know, together, and they're playing football in the backyard, and they're wrestling in the living room floor, and then as they get older, they go to school, and Abel's younger, so he's looking to his big brother to take care of him, right? And big brother's standing up and fighting for Abel, and then come one day when Abel gets saved. And Cain says, "You got what?" And then Cain stops fighting. I mean, Abel stops fighting, stops cursing, and Cain gets worse. Cain starts cursing Abel. Instead of defending him, he starts fighting against him. And then before you know it, they both, it's time to go to church and give an offering.
Amen.
And God had respect to Abel's offering, but Cain was there because Cain was religious, like most people, religious, yet they hate real Christians. They're religious, and Cain was there, and he gave an offering too, but God did not accept Cain's offering. Because it was made with the works of his hands instead of what God demanded, that blood had to be shed. You understand? There's a whole lot of preaching in there. But so Cain looks over at Abel and says, "So you're going to take his and not mine?" And God says, "Hey, Cain, relax. You know what? It's not about you and Abel. It's not about who loving you more than him or he more than you. It's about the fact that he did what I told him to do and you didn't. It's the fact that he did the way I told him to do it and you didn't. It's the fact that he's worshiping me the way I told him to and you aren't." Listen to me. There's not just any other way to worship God. You need to do it according to his word. We must do it according to his plan, his principles, his doctrine. Well, Cain said, I don't think I like that. God said, "Cain, relax.
Yeah.
Relax, Cain. If you'll change your ways and do what I say, there's no problem. I'll accept yours too."
Right.
But he said, "But Cain, if you just keep up this old routine that you're going, this road that you're going down," he said, "sin lieth at your door."
Right. Yeah.
In other words, Cain, you're just opening the door up for the devil. given him place in your life, because you continue to try to worship me the way you want to. You continue to try to live the Christian life the way you want to. And God says, Cain, listen, it ain't about you versus Abel. It's about what you're doing. It's about your false doctrine. And every time you open up the door to that false doctrine, sin's just waiting to come in. I promise you. And Cain didn't like that. So God went away. Next time he came down, he said, hey, he knocked on Cain's door. He said, Cain, where's Abel? And Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? Well, you used to be.
Yeah, that's right, brother. Come on.
And then God says something, you know, I hear the cry of his blood from the ground.
Yes.
Do you know that that's the first time the word blood is used in the Bible? He says, Cain, I knew you were foolish, but I didn't realize you were this foolish. You just killed Abel. And you know why you killed Abel, Cain? You killed Abel because his offering was righteous and yours was not. That's what the Bible says. There was nothing else. There was no other reason that Cain hated him, simply because Abel was living the Christian life the way he was supposed to. And his own brother hated him, yea, killed him. So, you know, we ought not be surprised when our loved ones despitefully use us, curse us, hate us. The only reason they haven't killed us, because they don't want to go to jail. I'm serious. I got some people in my family that's what I think. I'm to the point where I feel, you know, that's the only thing stopping me. Thank God for the police officers, I guess. Cain didn't, see, there was no jail in Cain's day. That was the first murder in the whole world, right? Cain didn't know what was going to happen, but his whole life was cursed. All of his descendants are still cursed. Everything he tried to do in the ground was cursed. Wherever he was working the ground, it was cursed. Listen, why did that happen? Simply because Abel's offering was righteous. Not because God loved Abel more than Cain, but because God said, this is the way you need to live your life. And Cain said, I want to do it my way. God said, fine. But you're going to regret it.
That's right. Amen, brother.
There's a reality. Listen, the spirit of Christmas was not in Cain's heart. But I believe it was in Abel's. I mean, he gave God the first, and the best of his flock. He offered up to God just what God. Listen, these boys both grew up in the same household.
That's right.
Amen.
They grew up in the same church.
Yep.
They grew up learning everything, the same thing that their daddy taught them. Listen, Adam knew better.
Amen.
He'd already learned that lesson.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Yeah,
amen,
brother.
But there's just something about some people, again, just, well, it's a hard heart's what it is.
Amen.
But the people that you used to laugh with before you got saved, you used to run around with before you got saved, that used to love you, oh, they used to cherish you, you used to spend holidays with them, this Christmas, you're not even going to see them.
Amen.
Why is that, preacher? Well, because they hate me simply because I take a stand for Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I'm not doing that because I want people to hate me, but I'm not going to compromise for anybody.
Come on.
I try to keep my heart right. That's what Jesus is talking about here. When you stand for me, you got to understand that other people aren't going to necessarily like you, but you have to keep your heart right. That's what he's saying here. You have to keep your spirit right, where you still love them, you still pray for them, you even bless them, you even desire. Listen, what does that mean? Bless them that curse you. That means, you know what? You pray for them that they'll get saved.
Amen.
If they are saved, you pray they'll get their heart right.
Amen.
You don't go over to their house and say, bless you, son. That's not what he's talking about.
Right.
He's saying you pray for God to get a hold of their heart, because the only blessing they're going to have is when they get right with God. There ain't going to be no other blessings until then.
Right.
That's what God told Cain. God said, Cain, if you'll do it right, I'll bless you just like I blessed Abel.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, God's no respecter of persons.
Yeah. That's right, brother. Amen.
But he is a respecter of doctrine.
That's right.
He's certainly a respecter of the gospel.
Amen.
This spirit, though, it meets opposition with our flesh. But listen to me, that's why we have to walk in the Spirit of God. Can I say the Christmas spirit meets opposition with our flesh? Number two, I like this one too. I believe this is a blessing to me. That one wasn't so much fun, but this one's great. Amen. This spirit also makes a church alive.
Amen.
It makes a church alive. Look in verse 31, Luke chapter 6. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. There, if ye love them which love you, what think have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. If ye do good to them which do good to you, what think have ye? For sinners also do even the same. If ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what think have ye? Sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. I'm going to read these verses. Stay with me here. But love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. You shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Listen, I know we use that verse for money many times, but listen to me. Men don't give money unto your bosom.
Right.
It's talking about love.
Yeah.
Your bosom's your heart. This, your bosom, your chest, where your heart is. Nobody's ever put my, well, maybe my, you can put it out here in my pocket if you want to. That's close to my bosom. Are y'all awake this morning, amen? Did I just make everybody cry because of the enemy part? But listen, he said, but men are going to give back to your bosom. What does that mean? When you love men, it'll come back to you. When you treat them, when you live like this, it's going to be a contagious spirit. Okay? And what I'm saying to you, as Christians, we don't have to live in the world. We're not of the world. We're in the world. But when we come to the church house, amen, and if we will have this spirit, it will make a church just vibrant with life, with energy, with forgiveness, with mercy, with love, with not condemning. Listen, when I come to church, I don't come to church to condemn people, and I hope you don't either. I don't come to church to judge people and try to fix people. We're here together because we're all growing together, living together, learning together, loving the Lord together, serving God together. This spirit of Christmas, of giving, where I come and see what I can do to give somebody else something that they need. I come to church to see what I can give somebody else something that will help them. Maybe a smile, maybe a good handshake, maybe a prayer, maybe something that's just a word of encouragement, but it gives, listen, that church will be alive.
Amen.
With the love of God.
Amen.
That church will be vibrant. That church will be, you know what, we don't need, unfortunately, there are some churches who come to church and people come to church and you got people back here in this corner talking about people over here in this corner.
Yeah.
You don't have, it's not a big enough sanctuary for you to get away with that in here. But you go down the hallway back there, you know, or over here, and then you say, hey, did you know? And you know, I'm sad to say this, but it's in all of us to do that and be that way. We're you know, but again, that's because we come to church even as Christians in the house of God. Listen, and we're still living for ourselves. We're still looking to see what we can get and how we can hurt. Can you imagine? Yes. How we can hurt another brother in our own family? In our own church house? Yeah, it happens. And there's a right way to deal with problems in the church. You deal with them facing the person, going through the pastor, going through the pastor's wife. But listen, by the grace of God and through the mercy of God, without judging and condemning, and because we of the love of God, we ought to be the most united people in the world.
Amen.
We ought to be the strongest family in the world.
Amen.
We ought to be the most tightly knitted group in the world.
That's right.
Listen, if we're not, we're not right.
That's
And I just want to say to you today, there's a good spirit in our church. There's a good thing going on in our church. God's giving us increase. We have visitors today on the coldest day of the year. Amen. I'm just saying to you that God's good to us, and but it's because we're doing what He wants us to do, and we're keeping His spirit. Because after all, the Christmas spirit is really nothing more than the Spirit of God.
Amen. Amen.
The Spirit of God, the Spirit of giving, the Spirit of loving one another and not casting stones at people. I mean, after all, that's what the law does, amen? The Christian life is all about giving. When a church family has this Spirit, that church family will be a church family that is, for number one, a soul-winning church.
Amen.
I mean, I think we had like 23, do we count Levi? I think 24. Levi's the little one in the oven, by the way, over here, Miss Chelsea's oven. Amen. But we had like 24 out soul winning yesterday. I'm telling you what, I'm thankful for God's working in our hearts. I'm thankful for God giving us people who care about souls. Why do we have that spirit? Because we care about giving what God's given to us, giving it back to the lost and dying world. It's a soul winning church, amen. A church that has this spirit will be a missions giving church. Now, I'm woefully behind on my duties here, and I apologize for that. We've got 10 of these boards hanging up. But I think God, last, I think 21 or 22 maybe. 22, Mitch. I got a lot of boards I need to hang. Amen. But that's a blessing for a church this size. Amen. And I'm just saying to you that it's because God's people give.
Amen.
I'm not supporting them all. We're all supporting them together. Because that we have an understanding that the spirit of giving is the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Christmas is, listen, it's just the spirit of giving. A church that has the spirit is a church that wants children to come in on those vans to give them something. Listen, we have a table full of gifts back there for Christmas.
Amen.
For these children. And several of you gave those gifts.
Amen.
Gave those gifts to those children. Some of these girls up here were going to get some, but I don't know the way they're behaving tonight. It's because we have a giving spirit in our church. Listen, we have and that's a good thing. I'm telling you, a church that's a soul-winning church, a church that has the spirit is a missions-giving, a church that has the spirit is a loving, listen, welcoming church to visitors.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all don't forget to greet Lupe back there on the back row over there. And we just met him yesterday, and I spent some time with him. And he's a saved man. He's saved. He's baptized, and he hasn't been in the area long. He needs to find a church where he can serve God and get in and get plugged in. Amen. So let's. But nobody has ever told me that they didn't feel welcome in this church. It's a good thing. You know why? Because there's a spirit of giving.
Yes. Amen.
Giving, not taking, giving. I mean, the Christmas cards back there on the. Some of you are still trying to figure that out, but I think the point is that you hopefully you understand by now is we just give cards to people just to wish them a Merry Christmas and to remind them how much we love them. Amen. It's that this church that has the Spirit will be a genuine, can I say, a sincere church?
Amen.
Because there are some people who act one way to your face. But don't turn your back on them.
Yeah.
That's not the spirit I'm talking about.
That's right.
I don't believe that spirit's in this church at all.
Yeah.
At all. Unless I've turned my back too many times. I don't know. But I haven't seen that spirit. I'm simply bragging on you a little bit this morning. And I'm encouraging you a little bit this morning. And understand that the spirit that is at Christmas is a spirit that can be in us as Christians, should be in our hearts all year long.
Amen.
All year long. This kind of church has a compassionate spirit, a Christ-like spirit. It's all about Jesus. Listen, if the Word of God is preached and Christ-centered messages are preached and prayer meetings are attended well, where people are... Listen, by the way, don't overlook the importance of prayer meetings, because you gather together in there with men and with women, and you bond as men and you bond as women, but also you're praying for the whole church.
Yes. Amen.
It's important. It's a part of the spirit I'm talking about. I mean, why else am I going to get together, come into church early, and sit down and pray for you? I'm going to pray for myself. No, I'm not. That's the wrong spirit.
Right.
I'm going to come and I'm going to gather together with my brethren, and I'm going to pray for them, for each other. Listen, that tightens that bond. The spirit of unity and the bond of peace the Bible talks about. There's peace in among God's people because there's a unity there of God's Holy Spirit. And there, I can trust you. Listen, if I can't trust you, I'm not at peace around you. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
God said this spirit isn't is a spirit of giving. It's a spirit of not judging or condemning, but it's a spirit of being Christ-like. This spirit meets opposition with our flesh, however, but if we'll get over our flesh and walk in the Spirit of God, we'll have a church that is vibrant and alive, and I think we are working on that in a very good way. Amen. I love each one of you that comes to me. I love you all, but I mean it's a blessing to me. You come to me and you thank me for the Sunday school lesson. You thank me for the preaching. You thank me for the sermon. And you know that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Because you don't have to do that. You don't have to. I'm going to preach anyway. I'm going to teach Sunday school anyway. You don't have to do that, but you're doing that out of a spirit of giving, giving back. Now, it's good and it's bad because then when I stand up here and I lay an egg and nobody says a word to me, then I think, oh, I must not have done too good of a job that time. Sometimes, my wife is a perfect judge. I go home and I know when it wasn't everything it should have been because she says nothing. It's like we didn't even come home from church. We just go in and we eat and take a nap. And of course, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, must have been a bad one. No, I'm just saying, I'm having a little bit of fun here, but it's a spirit of giving. When you say something like that to me, you don't have to.
Right.
And I'm not fishing for compliments. I'm just saying that's a proof of the spirit of that I think is in this church.
Amen.
That I believe is important though to that we maintain that. Again, amen. don't just say nice things to me. Say nice things to each other, and I believe you do. Amen. I mean, if I let you shake hands as long as you wanted to, we'd never get out of here. Amen. But that's okay. That's a good thing. That's a good spirit. I like the fact that we have a good spirit. It's a spirit of Christ. It's a spirit that meets opposition with our flesh, but we come to church, we come prepared, we walk in the Spirit, and it makes our church alive and well and healthy. And by the way, growing.
Amen.
Growing. I think we've had 50 in Sunday school for the last couple weeks. Amen. That you said, that's not that much. Well, listen, you should have been here when it was 10. Amen. All right. You would understand it then. So lastly, not only does that spirit meet opposition with our flesh, but it makes a church alive. But this spirit is the way that we get to heaven.
Amen.
This spirit made the way to heaven.
Amen.
This is the spirit of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2 says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. He gave himself for us as an offering. He didn't come to church and put something in the plate. He said, here am I, Lord.
Yeah,
I'll go.
Amen.
He gave himself the ultimate sacrifice, his life, his blood shed on the cross.
Amen.
That's the spirit of Christ. Listen, that's the only way anybody can get to heaven.
Amen.
That's the same spirit that we're talking about today. Understand, as we read through those things, the Bible says there to bless them that love them that hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you, smite thee on the one cheek, offer him the other. Every one of those things describes Jesus.
Yeah.
Especially when they were leading him up to Calvary.
Right. Amen.
Especially when they were leading him up to Calvary.
Yeah.
Christ loved the church and gave himself for it.
That's right.
That's the spirit of Christ. It's the spirit. This is the only way. This is the only way through the spirit of Christ, the spirit of Christmas, if you will, that anyone's ever given access to heaven. This is, by the way, the spirit of God himself. Right. Romans chapter 8 verse 32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Now wait a minute. I thought Jesus gave himself an offering. Yeah, he did. But it was God's plan of salvation to send his only begotten son. He delivered him up. What does it mean? Hey, when UPS comes by your door and delivers a package, what does that mean? They're giving you that. Are you listening to me today? God delivered up his only begotten Son for us all. And then it says, and then it goes on to say, how shall he not freely give us all things? Yeah. Freely give us all things. Why? Because through Christ we have his righteousness.
Amen.
I mean, this is the Spirit that makes way to heaven. This is the Spirit of Christ. This is the Spirit of God himself. This is the Spirit of the gospel, if you will. This is the Spirit of John chapter 3, verse 16. Amen.
Amen.
God so loved the world.
Amen.
That he gave. That love, that so, that little bitty word, S-O, he so loved the world. That's convicting. He so loved the world that he gave his only, his best, his one and only, only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means if you despitefully use him, if you curse him, if you hate him, if you will repent, he will accept you and in no wise cast you out. Whosoever cometh to him and believeth on his Son shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's a wonderful God.
Amen.
That's the Spirit of Christmas that I'm talking. It's the Spirit of the gospel. What makes a soul winner want to knock on doors in cold weather, in hot weather? It's a spirit that God puts in us because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that delivered up his only begotten Son, that now we're not going to perish, and we want to share that with someone else. It's the Spirit of God, so love the world. It's the Spirit that the gift of God is eternal life.
Right.
Through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's the Christmas spirit.
Amen.
I heard a great quote recently. Another quote says, I like this one. You've heard the first part, but I like the second part. There's two kinds of people in this world. Takers and givers. Okay, you've heard that part. But listen, this is the second part. I like this. Takers eat better. Givers sleep better.
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
I think it's true.
Yeah.
I know it's true. They sleep better. Why? Because they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're not living their lives stingy and selfish. Wouldn't it be great if this spirit were in our world all year?
Amen.
You know what? It can be and it should be in God's church and in God's people and in our homes.
Amen.
All year.
Amen.
I am the Christmas spirit. I enter the home of poverty, causing pale-faced children to open their eyes wide in pleased wonder. I cause the miser's clutched hand to relax and thus paint a bright spot on his soul. I cause the aged to renew their youth and to laugh in the old glad way. I cause eager feet to climb dark stairways with filled baskets, leaving behind hearts amazed at the goodness in the world. I cause the prodigal to pause a moment on his wild, wasteful way and send to anxious love some little token that releases glad tears. Tears which wash away the hard lines of sorrow. I enter dark prison cells, reminding scarred manhood of what might have been, and pointing forward to good days yet to come. I come softly in the still, white home of pain, and the lips that are too weak to speak just tremble in silent, eloquent gratitude. In a thousand ways, I cause the weary world to look up into the face of God, and for a little moment, forget the things that are small and wretched.
Amen.
I am the Christmas spirit.
Amen.
I thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
Or that spirit would never exist.
Amen.
I thank God for the opportunity to be a Christian and be saved and know that I'm going to heaven, yes. But listen, in the meantime, I can live. I can be this Christmas spirit. And I want to say to you, church, this morning, all of you that are here, guests, members, visitors alike, a church that has this spirit will be a vibrant, living, and moving forward church.
Amen,
by the grace of God.
Amen.
That's what God looks for. That's what God deserves.
Amen.
That's what God desires.
Amen.
Out of His people. And I'm glad God's doing a work right here in our church.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your people. Lord, I thank You for Your Spirit. Lord, we know it's not just any old spirit of giving. Lord, it comes because of Your Savior, our Savior, Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I humble my heart this morning in Your sight, in the sight of these people. And I say thank You, God, for this season. But Lord, thank You for the Spirit behind this season. Thank You for the gifts that have been given out today to the children. The baked goodies that have been eaten already and that have been given out to different families. And Lord, the Christmas cards that exemplify this Spirit. Lord, I'm humbled, God, by Your Spirit. And Lord, I pray You would forgive me, God, first of all, for the times that I allow this Spirit to escape me, the times that I'm not walking in this Spirit of giving, loving, sacrificially. Lord, I pray You would cleanse my heart. Forgive me, Lord, for the times where I'm not who I should be. Thank You, God, for Your Holy Spirit showing up this morning and speaking to our hearts. Thank You, God, for helping us. Thank You for this church. Thank You for these dear people. Oh, how I love them, Lord. God, I pray that You would work during this invitation.